Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America. Was that perky or what? Did that get your blood boiling? Isn't it great? There's a message coming in. Hold on. The guy's talking about they're going to try and take Trump down at Saturday Night Live. We'll see what happens. He's plugging Blue Bloods. He likes a police show. This is my teacher on communism. Okay, so the gentleman that's on the phone is an expert on communism. And he goes back to the Bolshevik Revolution. And he has been following communism in the United States for probably 40, 50 years. So he's telling me what shows to watch. Okay, he's off the message machine. And my topic tonight is, first off, let me just say about that beautiful sound that we opened up with. People do love to praise God, and God likes to hear them sing. But you know what the communists are doing in this country? They're putting a muzzle on all religious people, especially Christians. And what they're doing is they call for a moment of silence. But we like to sing God's praises, and we like God to hear us, and he's very far away. He may be in another galaxy that we just discovered yesterday. You never know. Okay, so I'm going to go to a tune because I got to get rid of that beep. It's driving me crazy. And here comes the teletype. So I'm going to give you, I got to get you a good tune here to get you going. This is a workers' tune. What did he mean, Billy Joel? I like Billy Joel. What did he mean they threw an American flag in our face? What did they say? Make the sacrifice for patriotism's sake? What were you, duped? Were you taken to the cleaners? I don't fault Billy Joel for that. But it is it's something that the greatest generation would never say. But then again, you can't have winners all the time. Just ask the Mets. How sad, that World Series, huh? But that's it, man. That's the The other team wanted it more than they did. It's sad, but there's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. And pray that it never happens to a country and we're on the short end of the stick. Someday I'll tell you what the short end of the stick means. You can Google it, short end of the stick. You know when they say he got the short end of the stick? Check it out. I happen to be looking at a thing on communists, and I happen to hit something that I wasn't looking for. Jimmy from Brooklyn gave me four communist strategies that a lot of people don't know about. And he gave me the word thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Antithesis and synthesis and thesis. And they're all communist tactics. And then he gave me the word dialectics. And he said, look it up, dialectics. So I Googled dialectic tactic. And what do you think comes up? A picture of J. Edgar Hoover. And a quotation from J. Edgar Hoover. And you know, the communists hated J. Edgar Hoover. And what's one of the communist tactics that they use besides racism, anti-Semitism? What else? They pretend to be a friend of the homosexual. But when they want to destroy somebody, they call them a homosexual. Have you ever noticed that? They came out, they said Lincoln was a homosexual. Remember that? Then they come out and said Jesus was a homosexual. Everybody they'd like to destroy, whose image they'd like to destroy, they use the homosexual tactic. Yet they turn to the homosexuals and say, we're the only ones looking out for you. Just don't come to Russia. Yeah. What a joke. Suckers. Jimmy from Brooklyn says the communists are on all sides. This way they control... Let me see if I wrote it down here. They control the outcome. So they could be Democrats, they could be Republicans, and whoever's running for office, they're both or running against them. They play both ends against the middle. As a matter of fact, there used to be a joke when I was growing up under the threat of communism, which is stronger today than ever before, and nobody knows it. The joke was there were three men in a Czechoslovakian prison. And one guy says, comrade, what are you here for? And at the time, there was a prime minister who was causing trouble trying to break away from the Soviet Union. His name was Imran Nagy. And he says, I'm here for opposing Imran Nagy. He says, what are you here for? I'm here for defending Imran Nagy. And they turned to the third guy and they said, what are you here for? He says, I'm Imran Nagy. And that's how they solved the problem. So I'm just going to read a little quote because they labeled J. Edgar Hoover a homosexual. And that was to destroy his image, just like when they say Thomas Jefferson liked chocolate. That's to destroy his image. When they did the movie, one of the latest revolutionary episodes, they showed Benjamin Franklin as being catered to by prostitutes. You see, that's to destroy the image. Communists are great at destroying images. As a matter of fact, in KGB school, they learn how to compromise homosexuals, and they learn how to compromise drug addicts and cheaters, and they create the drug addicts. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but all the guns that are being fired in all the revolutions around the world are all Soviet weaponry. Have you noticed that? You don't remember, but the communists used to be on a big kick. They used to call us the world's armory, and that was to stop us from selling arms. But that was for them to double their business, because arms is one of their biggest businesses. And don't think they wouldn't hesitate to sell a nuke to Iran if the price was right. So these changes in the party line, this is a quote from J. Edgar Hoover, these changes in the party line are merely shifting tactics all designed to promote the ultimate goal of world revolution. You got to remember, a lot of the immigrants coming into this country, or the illegal invaders, as I call them, they all come from communist countries. They all are pro-communist, because in their country, there's only poverty and rich people. And here they can come to the United States, they go on welfare, they're rich. They're rich. Do you know in Kuwait, Indian laborers and Sri Lankan laborers, do you know what they make a month working in Kuwait? No benefits. No benefits, no unions. $80 a month. Do you know that those Indians and Sri Lankans, they all live in barracks with basic essentials. And if you get hurt on the job, they put you on a plane back to your country. They get $80 a month. That's what it was when I was there at the end, at the beginning of 2000. $80 a month. You know what the Indian workers used to do with $80 a month? They lived on 20 and they sent 60 home, and their families were well off. They could work about 10 years and then they could go home and retire. Could you retire on $60 a month? Yeah. Okay. These changes in the party line are merely shifting tactics, all designed to promote the ultimate goal of world revolution. They are not changes in heart. Communists have no heart. They have no soul. How can they have a heart? Communist strategy and tactics, J. Edgar Hoover. And somebody else said this. My child and my children, since the world no longer considers the tiny little babies as being important to life, and Democrat sells baby eyes. I wonder if he can order them by color. They no longer will consider the necessity to have the elderly and infirm among us. That is communism. My children, they will destroy the elderly, they will destroy the newborn, and they will destroy anyone who gets in their way. They have one object, that is to conquer the United States and all of the nations, until, like a fan, it will open up and will border upon all nations of the world. Our Lady of the Roses, September 14, 1985. The following is taken from Masters of the Seat. Now, J. Edgar, I'm doing this for you, buddy, because you served us well. And I don't care if you had dope on the Kennedys. And I don't care if you blackmailed potential enemies. You also kept them in line, and you let them know how stupid they were. So here's what J. Edgar Hoover says. And you know, they want to take his name off the FBI building. They want to take Christ down from the cross. They want to take the American flag down. They think they succeeded in taking the rebel flag down, but they didn't succeed. They might have taken it down in a state house, but I guarantee you, rebel flag sales are up. And as is the Don't Tread on Me flag. I'm going to go to a tune. I gotta soothe my throat. I'm gonna give you the Star Spangled Banner.
Whoa.
People say the South is broken. It is not as it is not the patriotic South that we once knew. And I say that if you check, go back and examine the American Revolution, only 25% of the revolutionaries, it took 25%. That's all we had to win the revolution. So as long as we can hold at 25%, we can take our country back. Here's from J. Edgar Hoover. Let me just read what I had up for the bulletin for tonight. What percentage of the Democrat Party is communist? What percentage of the Republican Party is really Democrat? My Spirit of America Party poll says 50% of the Democrat Party is communist. The other 50% are only dupes with very low brainwaves. On the Republican poll side, 25% is Democrat, 25% is Tea Party, and 50% are weaklings who say don't rock the vote. Obama will go away. We can pick the pieces up that's left of the useless of A. This poll is, you know how they do the accuracy? This poll is within 30 points, plus or minus. It's a two-person sample, which is half of NBC and the Wall Street Journal poll and the Queenie PPAC. And then along came Trump. Deal-making Trump. Hard-hitting Trump. Along came Donald Trump. Fast-talking Trump. Let's see if we got that tune for you. I hope I didn't miss it. Let me see. We'll give you what we got. Oh, it must be down at the bottom. No. Oh, it's still downloading. Okay. So let's give you J. Edgar. The following is taken from Masters of Deceit by J. Edgar Hoover. Here's what J. Edgar says. In preceding chapters, I have briefly outlined the history and internal structure of the Communist Party USA. Now we must consider the party's attack against non-communist society in the United States. One of the 45 goals, which I believe they've accomplished, of the Communist Party, read into the congressional record in 1963, one of the goals was to control one or both parties. I believe they got the Democrats, and they probably got a percentage of Republicans. The Communist Party USA is a weapon of attack, not only for the day of revolution, but for now. To party leaders, each day is a day of preparation and dress rehearsal for the day when they hope to come to power. Sure looks like they're in power now. Non-communist ranks must be infiltrated, penetrated, and subverted. And that includes churches. That includes Boy Scouts. The success of the communist mission depends on capturing the enemy's stronghold from within. To this end, the party employs a variety of mass agitation techniques. Communist is in the marketplaces of America, in organizations, on street corners, even at your front door. He is trying to influence and control your thoughts. And a lot of brain, we got three generations of brainwashed people. Mass agitation weakens the non-communist enemy and builds party structure. Communists conceive of their attack against capitalist society in terms of warfare. They see the party as the vanguard, leading the proletariat in battle against the bourgeoisie. That's us. Periods of offense and defense, attacks and retreats, skirmishes, even pitched battles and casualties are demanded. They realize that victory can be achieved only by force and violence. The warlike character of communist policy is reflected in party expressions such as strongholds of reaction, mobilizing the masses, advanced detachments of the proletariat, storming the fortress of capitalism, seizing the initiative, basic battle plans conceived in terms of strategy and tactics. The ultimate aim of the Communist Party is the establishment of a Soviet America. For more than a generation, never for a moment, have American communists forgotten their allegiance to the Soviet Union. That is the ultimate strategy of the Communist Party, USA. Party leaders realize, however, that they are a minority. They simply can't march straight to victory. For that reason, the approach must be varied, flexible, and constantly subject to change, so they're constantly morphing. To communists, strategy means the determining and carrying out of long-range goals, such as winning a war, like Nam. Whereas tactics are the working out of strategy on a day-to-day basis, winning particular battles and engagements. Tactics, as Stalin said, are a part of strategy, subordinate and subservient to it. To achieve the long-range goal, retreats and maneuvers sometimes are necessary. It is not like climbing an unexplored mountain, asks Lenin. How can we renounce beforehand the idea that at times we might have to go in zigzags, sometimes retracing our steps, sometimes abandoning the course once selected and trying various others. They never give up. Tomorrow morning, the ACLU will be in the Supreme Court, destroying another part of the Constitution under the guise of protecting it. Blaine's the communist phrase, strategic retreat. It means don't be afraid to take two steps backward if it'll help you achieve tomorrow three steps forward. Keep the goal always in mind. Teach the communists. Remember that an enemy is superior in numbers, better armed, more experienced. Moreover, communists must be willing to endure hardships, Lenin urged. If you are not inclined to crawl in the mud on your belly, you are not a revolutionary but a chatterbox. Fight hard and be disciplined. Carefully, attentively, and skillfully take advantage of every, even the smallest fissure among the enemies. Seize every, even the smallest opportunity of gaining a mass ally, even though this ally may be temporary, because it's going to be exterminated later on. Vacillating, unstable, unreliable, and conditional. And those who do not understand this fail to understand even a grain of Marxism. Don't allow the party to advance too rapidly. Stop, consolidate, maintain contact with the masses, and advance without consolidating the positions already captured is an advance doomed to failure. Likewise, never make a permanent truce with the enemy. Don't be trapped by his lures, bribes, and promises. Cooperation, collaboration with non-communists must never be more than a tactic. It must have its actual long-range goal, the weakening and discrediting of democracy and its eventual destruction. The rise of a revolutionary leader is to gauge the comparative strength of the proletariat and the bourgeoisie and decide what particular tactics are then more likely to promote revolution. Communists employ various tactics in devising methods to inject themselves into various phases of American life, like schools. Their obligation to defend the interests of the Soviet Union dictates their tactics in seeking to obstruct and undermine public confidence in our foreign policy, and thus seizing upon the inherent desire of all Americans to reduce tactics the daily work realizes that foreign aid should be curtailed and billions should not be taken out of our pockets for a new phony emergency. The huge $70 billion a year defense budget is rushing America to inflation and economic crisis. Actually, communists would like to develop an economic crisis, and they're doing that right now. So I just want to give you a little bit from J. Edgar Hoover. And then there are articles that are recommended. Communism, Roosevelt ignored warnings. Communist influence over Roosevelt. Supreme Court Justice Warren and how he aided the communist subversion of the United States. The 45 goals. You got to read the 45 goals of the Communist Party. Listen to this. John Kerry dismissed the threat of global communism as bogus before a Senate hearing in 1971. And his campaign slogan was taken from a communist poem. Then they got an article on Clinton's White House, President Carter's appeasement of global communism. Nancy Pelosi, World Net Daily, reports that communists likely top House official, part of powerful socialist-linked bloc. Russian espionage and penetration of the U.S. government. All kinds of good reading material if you want to read up on communism. Kerry is very strong on communism. He wrote an article, "Our Democracy is a Farce," in 1971. He's changed his position on Castro. He has a Nicaragua vision. He teamed up with Hanoi Jane. Tom Daschle was no good. I was glad to see him go. Unfortunately, he got replaced by a guy who I thought was conservative, but it turns out he's a rhino. And I really support him, John Thune. Well, maybe he can be saved. Okay. So we're going to do Zingland, The Strings of My Heart. I said, we're gonna do sing with the strings in my heart. I guess it's not there. Ah, we got one. Along Came Trump. I popped down in my easy chair and turned on Channel 2. A bad gunslinger named Harry Reid was chasing poor sweet Sue. He trapped her in an old sawmill and he said with an evil laugh, "If you don't give me the deed to your ranch, the BLM will steal your land and I get half." And then he grabbed her, and then he tied her up, and then he passed bad legislation. And then along came Trump, deal-making Trump, hard-hitting Trump, fast-talking Trump. Along came America's hero, Donald Trump. That's the great Frankie Lane. He now sings in Paradise. And he was a crooner. Now here is a song, a doo-wop song, with the same a broken heart.
15651, take six.
If you're lucky enough to have someone who loves then be glad that you've got someone who loves you. 'Cause lips that were warm can grow cool. Listen to the wisdom of a fool. When you take her for heart and you do something to it, and you think to yourself, why did I do it? You may find that the world can be cruel. Now I had a love just the same as you, and I was a fool not to see. But you still have time to say you love her. I'm afraid it's too late. We'll be right back.
Just to win. Madrechaya, Ibarra.
close with a tune by a guy named Steve Earle. The name of the song is Going Down to Dixie. It's about an Irishman who left his country because he was hunted by the British. He escaped to freedom. And he came to the United States. And when he got off the boat, he ended up in the U.S. Army. And he served under a guy named Joshua Chamberlain. I think he was from Massachusetts or Rhode Island. And he went and fought the Civil War. And in the song, you will hear him say about his enemies that he fought. He says, "We are now all American." And that's what we're missing as Americans today. We let a group of communists play us like chumps and attacked a 150-year-old Confederate flag, which was not the symbol of slavery. It was the symbol of rebellion by 11 states. And they had more to fight about than slavery. Only 6% of the South owned slaves, and 3% of the six owned most of them. And there were black slave owners also. Third largest slave owner in New Orleans was black in Louisiana. But it's water under the bridge. It's 150 years old. These guys who wore gray instead of blue, they are our brothers today. They fight side by side with us, and we cannot diss their heritage. Not for a minute. If you never fought under the stars and bars or fought against it, you haven't earned the right to take it down. If you want to stand up for your country, stand up now. Go into the military and serve your country. But don't go and beat up dead veterans. A veteran is a veteran, whether he wore blue or gray. And they must all be respected. And their flag must be respected. And it wasn't a flag of slavery. You want to see the flag of slavery? Wait till a hammer and sickle is over the White House. Wait till Al-Qaeda's black with Arabic writing is over the White House. You will find out about slavery. And I got to tell you this. When we fall, no one is taking us in. That's our show, folks. Don't give up your country so easily, because you got no place to go. There's no, you ask anybody that's here. There are people that are here 30 years from Iran. When the Shah fell, they had to get out. And they'll tell you, we're losing our country. These are guys that know what it's like to lose a country. And Cubans will tell you the same thing. They know what it's like to lose a country. The South Vietnamese will tell you the same thing. The North Koreans will tell you the same thing. So, hold on to what you got and get one more. And somebody made a comment, and I've been saying it for years. In our borough, there is a ghetto. And in the ghetto, at 6 o'clock in the morning, Mexicans are sitting on the steps. And contractors are pulling up, and there'll be 40, 50 Mexicans sitting on the steps of an apartment building. And they don't live there. And the guy goes, oh, I need five. And the guy goes, I'll take seven. And these guys are all at work and by 10 after 6 in the morning. About 11 o'clock, the inhabitants of the apartment come out. They're out of work. They can't find a job. Don't tell me about it, will you? We got to get rid of welfare. And we got to have smaller government. The smaller the government, the safer the people. And never forget this. Anyone who wants to take your guns away, they intend to kill you. Have a nice night, folks. And God keep you safe.